that stood for decades has been toppled after angry protesters pulled it down. A group attached a rope to the statue outside the Durham County Courthouse last night and toppled it. The protest comes days after the white nationalist march in Charlottesville, Virginia. This is USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
One of President Trump's biggest backers may see his legal troubles disappear. The president retweeted a Fox News story this morning saying he is seriously considering a pardon for former Maricopa County, Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Arpaio was convicted of criminal contempt for maintaining patrols targeting illegal immigrants. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is releasing the annual U.S. report on religious freedom around the world.
Legislation that upholds religious freedom as a core American value under the Constitution's First Amendment, as well as a universal human right.
Speaking of the State Department today, Tillerson said religious persecution and intolerance is far too prevalent in many regions of the world. Leading violators include Iran, China, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and ISIS. Well, Gerta is gaining strength and is now the second named hurricane of this year's Atlantic hurricane season. The storm is swirling in the Atlantic with maximum sustained winds of about 75 miles an hour. This is USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
President Trump is taking aim today at former President Obama over Russia. Trump took to Twitter this morning about a report that Obama knew about Russian interference 3 years ago, but he didn't want to anger Russia. A Politico report said the Obama administration was warned between 2014 and 2016 that Moscow was building operations aimed at disrupting the American political system. Democrats really like John McCain. The Arizona senator is apparently more popular among Democrats than his own Republican base. A new Gallup poll shows McCain has a 71% favorability rating among Democrats compared to 51% among Republicans. This is the second poll released in August that reflects the same result. A Quinnipiac poll shows McCain with a 79% approval rating with Democrats and just 39% with Republicans. Both polls suggest the swing is due to McCain's recent no vote killing the GOP health care bill. Finally, Tiger Woods was apparently not under the influence of alcohol when he was stopped by police in May, but he sure was under the influence of several other substances, as USA's Chris Barnes reports.
Toxicology test results indicate that Tiger Woods had five different drugs in his system when he was arrested by police in Florida in May. The results released on Monday showing Woods tested positive for Vicodin, Dilaudid, Xanax, Ambien, and THC when he was arrested for suspicion of driving under the influence.
For USA Radio News, I'm Jules McKinney.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Huntin' Huntered In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Huntin' Huntered In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. I'm happy that you're here, and I've got a special program for today that, and it's a topic that I really haven't talked about in the past. It's called Teachable, the program is called Teachable Moments in Business, and the name of my segment today is called Harvard on the Highway. And we have information that we'll share with you that you can use, whether you're the owner of a business or you work in the business, perhaps you're thinking of starting a business. And so the information that I share with you is something that you can use, and there's all kinds of tips. I hope you have a pencil and a paper handy so that we can talk about it. But before we get there, I wanted to mention the weather. Right now it's about 43 degrees outside. It's not raining, which is good, although there was possible 20% precipitation for today. So today the weather is generally cloudy, and it will only go to about 46 degrees in the afternoon, partly cloudy skies this evening with a low of 32 degrees. And when I come back later in the program, we'll talk about the extended weather forecast. But first, a message from one of our sponsors.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntington Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntington-chamber.org.
This is Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. And in the program today, I want to talk about my segment called Harvard on the Highway. Having counseled probably thousands of people by now in many different industries and having taught dozens and dozens of classes every year for the last 17 years, I've come in contact with a lot of small business owners and have found that there are things that they just don't do, that if they were aware of what those strategies and tips would be, they would be able to achieve their goals probably more quickly and to create a very rewarding business opportunity for themselves and anyone who might be working for them. So I've put together a PowerPoint presentation that I'm actually going to give here at the Chamber this afternoon starting at 5 o'clock. It'll go for 3 hours from 5 until 8 p.m. But I wanted to share with you some of the highlights of that talk, because there are things that you can take advantage of. Now, if you'd ever like me to give this full program at your company or to you privately, we can always do that. In fact, if you have questions about what we do here on Teachable Moments in Business, if you'd like to be interviewed, you're more than welcome to give me a call. My office phone number is 908-832-9544. So that's 908-832-9544. If you go to Teachable Moments in Business on the Facebook page, you'll see a bunch of videos that interviews that I've done with some wonderful people. And every time you listen to someone on that program, I guarantee you'll pick up information that you can use. So the first thing I wanted to mention today was that many people go into business without a business plan. Now, I've been in business since 1976, and I started when I was really young, like maybe 10. but I never heard of a business plan. I had no clue. I guess if I had known what it was, maybe we would have progressed in our business a little more quickly. But I had a partner in the first couple years of business. Then I went on my own. And then in 1989, my husband joined me. And that was at a point that I needed help. And if he didn't come in with me, I would have either had to go someplace else or hire somebody. But it was better that he came into the business because he understood it. But talking about business plans, if you've been in business for some time, it's a good idea to take a look at a website called Growth Wheel. Growth Wheel. And although the owner of that site has created a plan where people can become certified to teach and to counsel using their system, on there you will see a diagram that is very helpful. And that diagram includes, 20 different segments or areas of business that you need to be focused on in order to be successful. So I would suggest you take a look at Growth Wheel, because you might pick up some tips on and some areas of business where you need to really focus. And you could always come to me to talk about them. In addition to that, the SBA.gov and the score.org both have websites where you'll find business plan templates. In fact, if you type in business plans templates into Google to do a Google search, you'll see so many business plans. There's also a website that will help you create a business plan, but they have many examples of business plans, and their website is bplans.com. That's bplans.com. So putting those business plans together really forces you to analyze the business to be sure that you're on the right track. And in doing the market research, you'll determine if it's even feasible for you to enter that industry or or to perhaps bring a certain product or service to market. And you'll determine whether or not you have adequate funding to do that. Now, if you wanted to go for a loan, you would need to have a business plan. And the SBDCs across the country do offer counseling to help small entrepreneurs develop their businesses. So it's a good idea. So feasibility is an area that I think needs more attention from a lot of entrepreneurs, because so many of them start a business based on the passion that they have for the business, but they don't have the expertise for managing a business. So think about, you know, why you want to start a business. Is it a good idea? What problems does that business solve? Because every business solves a problem. If you don't solve a problem, frankly, you don't have a business. So is there a need for it? Are people going to buy it? Can you say that you are the only person that does that type of business? If you can't, then you have to find something that's unique about your business in order for you to stand out. Because in business today, there are so many competitors, and if you don't stand out from the crowd, if you don't differentiate, then chances are you become a commodity in the minds of the audience that you want to serve, and they'll start haggling for price. So determine what your unique selling proposition is that will make you stand out from the crowd. Now, how do you do that? It's a matter of knowing your industry very well. It's about knowing the target audience that you're best suited to serve. It's also about knowing the competition. Who is the competition, and what are their strengths and weaknesses? Some people do a SWOT analysis on the competition to see what strengths a competitor has, and that strength will create opportunities for them. But if they have weaknesses, that becomes a threat. And you can do a SWOT analysis on yourself as well. But if you have a chance to look up SWOT, it's SWOT, that'll give you some guidelines for analyzing both the competitors as well as yourself. And by the way, when it comes to knowing the industry, I'm always amazed at how many people really don't have any knowledge about trade associations in the industry. And that always boggles my mind, because there's a trade association for every industry, I guarantee you. And you need to look at not only the trade associations and the conferences that cater to people who do what you are going to be doing or are doing, but also look at the associations that cater to the people who know the people that you want to get to know. So in other words, sometimes if you have a service for homeowners, and you don't know what homeowners need your services, but perhaps carpenters or plumbers or electricians know who need the services that you provide, you might want to connect with an organization of plumbers or an organization of electricians. And that's called fusion marketing. So in other words, you partner with other services that cater to the same clientele, and you could meet them at trade meetings, for example, or conferences, trade shows. So really know the industry inside and out. Very, very important. Also, when it comes to competitors, keep in mind that all companies have a life cycle, and if a company is doing well and they're really hitting their pinnacle of their careers, but if they've been around for a while, or if they've had the owners sometimes get worn out, they've taken their customers for granted, perhaps they haven't kept up with the technology. If that's the case, they may not be attentive to the business as much as they should be. And also, if their children come into the business, what you'll find is second and third generations really meet their demise quite often. So if that happens, there's a decline in that business, which really leaves a door open for you to get your foot in the door. So, and I would alert companies that have been around for a while that if they've been in business for some time, it could be 10, 15, 20 years, they are so vulnerable to new people coming in and really stealing their customers. So that's something to think about. Another thing that a lot of people are not clear about are the who their target audiences are. I'll give you an example. I've been in the pet industry for over 42 years, and quite often over the years I've had companies reach out to us who were looking for manufacturers reps, which is what I was, what I've been doing all those years. And they would call me to represent them, and I'd say, well, who's your target audience? And they'd say, well, anybody with a dog. Well, gosh, you can't do business with anybody. It has to be somebody. Would it be somebody that owns a big dog, a little dog, dogs that live in Boston or Washington or Chicago? Are these certain breeds, like German Shepherds, Golden Retrievers? Are they show dogs? Are they agility dogs? Are they guard dogs? Are they just a pet for the family? So until you decide who the target audience is, you could hardly do any kind of an outreach program that would get you in front of the people that you're best suited to serve. So you can't serve anybody. Who exactly is your target audience, and who needs, wants, and can afford what you have to offer? Now, I usually recommend that when it comes to identifying your target audiences, that you develop lists of vertical lists of potential, I would call them suspects, because your job is to turn suspects into prospects into customers. And you would want to build no more than three or four vertical categories or silos into which you would put very similar organizations or similar people. And once you develop your knowledge of those people that are in each of those silos, you can go out with a message that will resonate with anybody who's in that category. And there's a good chance that the people who are in that category will know one another. So you can always drop names and make referrals to others that you have served once you've gotten your foot in the door into that category. So it's a matter of knowing who to reach, how to reach them, where they are, where they hang out, and what kind of message that you would be putting together that would resonate to that audience. So it's a very calculated approach. It's not random. And so many people that go into business do what I call throwing it against the wall to see what sticks. They're not clear on the strategy, and they go through trial and error, and that can be very costly. So if you have a plan for reaching the target, you're much better off. So far now we've talked about the importance of knowing the industry, knowing your competition, and knowing the target audience and what's important to them. So now that we've gone that far, we're going to go on to some messages from some of our sponsors, and I will be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
You're listening and watching A Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. So I'm giving you tips and strategies that you can use in developing your business. And we've talked about knowing the industry. So I call it the five no's. Know the industry, know your competition, know your target audience, know yourself and what is it that you need to do to be better at what you do, and then know how to reach out to your target audience. Now, one of the things that I notice with people who are reaching out to their targets, whether it's verbally or in written form, they often talk about themselves or they talk about their products. But actually, you need to speak to and speak about the listener. Or if you're writing, you're writing for the reader. So in other words, any communication that you have is all about the other person. It's not about you. And I critique quite a few websites, and I'm always amazed how I open up a website and I read about the company, but there's nothing said in the beginning of that website that gives me a reason to want to do business with that company. There's no statement, and I don't understand that. Until somebody knows that you care where they're coming from, that you have a knowledge of their concerns and the issues that they're facing, I think you're going to lose people. You lose them, and you can lose them in a few seconds. So the question then is, are you a market driver or are you market driven? A market driver is somebody that says, we do this and we do that. But someone who's market driven says that they understand the customers, they understand what their concerns are, what their needs are and their wants. They understand what's urgent to them for them, and they've put together a program that will address those issues. Isn't that what somebody wants to hear, that you are capable of helping them solve their problems? And frankly, if you express yourself in that way, you're going to gain more attraction. Another thing that I find is missing in written material as well as on websites is the fact that people do not have a call to action in the publicity that they issue. A call to action is such that you're giving somebody a reason for wanting to know more. And a call to action could be come to the website. And by the way, you really need to get people to come to the website, especially if they're seeing you on Facebook, which you don't own Facebook. You don't own the content. They could wipe you out. We've been hearing a lot about Facebook lately, taking control of matters that maybe you would not like. But you own your website, so you want people to come to your website or to knock on your door physically to want to find out more. Should the call to action be that they would come to the website to download an article of interest? Maybe it's to enter a contest or to qualify for a discount program. It might be to post a picture or to ask a question. But there are a lot of reasons that you can give people to contact you. And that's, you want them coming to you. You want people to knock on your door. So what can you do? That's a call to action. And when you have an advertisement that just basically tells people who you are and what you do, that doesn't really give people reasons to want to know more. I mean, think about it. It really You're really saying in so many words, well, if you're interested, just give us a call. And that's not a call to action. So go back and reread what you've done. Another thing that I find very interesting is that when people write articles, or even when they're speaking for that matter, they do not use enough of the words you and your. This is important also. In fact, I recommend a ratio of where every 4 to 6 times you mention you or the word your, you only reference yourself, I, me, our, us. You only reference yourself once. So for every 4 to 6 times it's you and your, you only do a personal reference once. And it's amazing how people write. Now, what I often will take, if it's a, let's say I might download a page from the website or take a sales letter that I have received and highlight the words you and your in one color, a highlighter like yellow, and then I'll take a pink highlighter and highlight all the words that reference to themselves. And it's amazing. You can figure out pretty quickly who the article is written about. And if you don't see too many of those yellow lines, the yous and yours, that tells you that they're writing about themselves and how great they are, but they haven't told you how valuable they can be to your own business in solving your problems. So very, very interesting to me to do that. Now, we have in the program that I'm teaching tonight for the 3 hours, this is the cover for my program. So, well, this isn't black and white, but it's in color on the PowerPoint when I show it. Today, I'm going to be at the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce today from 5 to 8 o'clock giving a talk on this. And I find when people come to my programs, they really get a lot of takeaways. They take a lot of notes. And I feel confident that they can go back and really be more successful and more have a greater direction on the work that they're going to be doing. One of the things that I find that people don't realize is that your audience will make decisions on emotion and they justify on logic. And that's a statement that is common. You'll hear it a lot. But I have a list here of emotional decisions that people make, and it's quite long. There's a sentiment, self-confidence. They may hearken back to past experiences. They have fears. They're looking for freedom, independence, new challenges. There's maybe hate, love. They want something safe, easy. They take pride. They want courage or good health, love. All of those are, and more, are emotions that help people to make decisions. So theoretically, if you are promoting a product or service, try to bring in the emotions behind it, because there's always a reason why people are going to do something. In fact, there's often, I believe, the need behind the need, or the concern behind the concern, which would be all emotion-driven. So it's important that you identify the emotions that people are feeling, because you want them to see that your company has the wherewithal to help them out with their issues. So I'm looking at the clock here. We don't have a clock right in front of us. There's one on the monitor, and my cell phone clock keeps going off, so I can't seem to keep it on. But we have a few more minutes, and I'm going to continue here. So another thing to think about is would be the generations that your target audiences are built, that come from. And we have 3 and 4 generations working together in business today, which was not true decades or centuries ago, I guess you could say. But for example, we have boomers, baby boomers. We have people in the Gen X category. We have a lot of millennials who are also the Gen Ys. But we have a new generation coming down the pike, which is the iGen and the Gen Z or centennials. All generations seem to have several different names. So the millennials are most commonly found in business today. And they were born in 1977 up to 1999. And then from 96 on, we have the youngest generation, the iGens or the Gen Zs. They're in high school and college right now. But they all have different characteristics. And it's a long story. If you have a time to study the generations, I think it would be important, because people from each generation have certain motivators that get them interested in doing what you want them to do. And, of course, you want them to be cooperative. You want them to work together. But if you don't understand the generations that they fall into, there may be conflict that you're having trouble, catering to. So the generations will be affected by different motivations, their communication preferences, their lifestyles, their attitudes, their commitments, and their loyalties. They're all different. And I gave a class last week. I forget what the class was. It was here. It was on personal branding. It was. And we talked about the generations. And what's interesting to me from what I've read so far is that the I generation has a great deal of potential. In fact, they're kind of, I think they're going to be somewhat like the baby boomers who were pretty hard workers and less likely to switch jobs as the millennials probably change jobs a lot. So if you have a chance to read those generations, it's very, very interesting. So we're going to go on and look at some of our responsibilities here for news and weather. So I'm going to do that, and then I'll come back in a moment.
USA Radio News.
A Southwest Airlines plane made an emergency landing at Philadelphia International Airport after an engine blew out shortly after the plane left LaGuardia Airport in New York today. The plane landed safely and taxied to a remote area off a runway where passengers were taken off. Marty Martinez was on the plane. He explains what happened.
All of a sudden, we heard an explosion. And then I come to find out that the engine exploded on the left side of the plane. That explosion caused one of the windows to explode and row 17 of the plane, which is just two aisles over from me.
That audio courtesy of WPVI in Philadelphia. Today is tax day, and if you are one of the folks who has to file an extension, don't be worried. The White House announced President Donald Trump will also be filing a 2017 extension. This is USA Radio News.
Want to add 3 more days to your weekend? Then get on board a free luxury cruise today. Your dream destination, meals, and adventure are all included free when you buy the book 5-Day Weekend. Why is New York Times bestselling author Garrett Gunderson and Nick Halig giving away thousands of luxury cruise tickets? Simple. They've created an online community they want you to benefit from. No, you don't have to read the book or join the community to enjoy your free cruise. Use the ticket when you want, how you want, and with who you want. They're confident after you apply just 3 of their 16 proven wealth-building strategies in the book, you'll improve your cash flow in just 30 days, so you'll join the online 5DW community. That's why the authors can afford to be generous and give you a luxury cruise ticket at their expense. Call 1-800-598-5129, 1-800-598-5129. Buy a copy of 5-Day Weekend, and you'll get a free 3-day cruise ticket for processing and tax. That's 1-800-598-5129, or log on to cruisenow.info. That's cruisenow.info, cruisenow.info.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. Looking at the weather. Let's see where we are. Tomorrow it's mainly sunny. Well, that's nice, with a high near 57 degrees and winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. But Wednesday night, rain will come early, then will remain cloudy. So there's about a chance of 80% of precipitation on Wednesday night, unfortunately, with a low of about 42. We have yet to get really consistent weather here. Thursday will be cloudy with a high of 54 degrees. And Thursday night, a few clouds, a low of about 34 degrees. Let me look at Friday. Friday, sunshine and clouds mixed with a high of 52 degrees. And Friday night, some more clouds will give way to generally clearer conditions overnight with a low of 33. So where it looks like we still have some cold nights. I think I'm tired of these cold evenings. I'm sure you are, too. Okay, so much for that. What we're talking about is the content of my program, Harvard on the Highway. The reason why I pulled this together is because, having dealt with so many people over the years, I see similarities among a lot of the people that I counsel in that they miss certain information that really is important for them to put together business plans, marketing plans, and selling plans. So here are a couple things to think about. One of the topics that I talk about is client relevancy. And in business today, it's important that you dominate and differentiate somehow in your industry, but also be on par or offer what people would typically expect from someone who does what you do. Now, you could hang your hat, so to speak, on potentially 5 characteristics. So one of them is quality. And You know, I've heard it said, you know, people went to quality, price, and service, and somebody might say, well, pick two. I can't do it all. You can't do it all. So where are you going to find strength from your business that you can project to your target audience? So quality is certainly one of them. Your quality may be heads above anybody else who's in the business that you're in. So think in terms of what you can say, like we're the only company that does such and such, or we're the most requested, or the original, or the first. They're very important. In fact, Jeffrey Gittimer, who's one of my authors that I like, talks about that in his books. Now, there's also value. Now, years ago, I used to say price, but I don't want to sell on price, because if you do business with a price-driven buyer, they are strictly looking at price, and they're not building an emotional attachment to you. So we're looking at quality and value, and then service. Of course, people want service. And the fourth one is convenience, which is really good. Do you conduct business in a way that's convenient for your audience to do business with you? A great example might be a kennel operator who says that you have to have the dogs to the kennel by 9 o'clock in the morning, and you have to pick them up by 6. Well, if you have to leave earlier in the morning, or if you don't get home from work until 7 or 7:30 at night, you're not going to use that kennel. So the kennel needs to adjust their hours to meet your specific needs. Then the last one, so I've got quality, value, service, convenience. And the fifth one is experience. And I couple that with the concept of fascination. I believe that, and this can be the most important one, people want to enjoy spending their money. If you create a wonderful buying experience with your customers, they're going to look forward to coming back, don't you? Isn't that what you want? Because today the name of the game is repeat and referral business. You want people to continue to come back, and you want them to give you positive word of mouth. So can you create a wonderful experience? Can you create a fascinating experience? Are you fascinating as a business owner or as a service? What is it that you offer that's going to get people to talk you up and to want to come back? So you have a choice in terms of dominating, differentiating, or be on par as to what people would typically expect of you. So I'm kind of switching around here, but that's a kind of an interesting thing. Let's see. I want to talk about, I'm a certified guerrilla marketing coach, so I want to talk a little bit about that. You know, many of you have worked in, I'm going to check the time here, many of you have worked in large businesses, and if you ever worked in a marketing department of a large corporation, they might have given you money to spend. But in business today, it's important that before you go spend money, you decide how you're going to spend it. So rather than look at that amount of money and say, oh, I'm going to spend it here, and there, following the guerrilla marketing plan is really, in my opinion, much, much better. It actually it's referred to as the seven-sentence guerrilla marketing plan. So you can look that up online and see the template and see how it's structured. But basically, there are seven steps. So the first step is to determine what your goals are. What's the purpose of your marketing? What goals do you want to achieve? Because if you don't have a goal for the marketing that you want to do, there is no way to measure what it is that measure the outcome. You know, what are you getting your ROI or return on your investment? So the first step is what is the purpose of your marketing? The second step is be the benefits that you want to promote. Because keep in mind, people don't buy what you do. They buy the benefits that they get from having done business with you. So what are the benefits that you want to promote in a marketing campaign? And by the way, this guerrilla plan, I think, is most appropriate for specific marketing campaigns. I wouldn't consider it to be the corporate plan of marketing, which would be in your business plan. I would consider this to be an event, a marketing event for a specific reason. So what's the purpose of it, and what are the benefits that you want to promote? The third step would be who's the target audience that you're going after, because those benefits will be beneficial to certain people, you know, within your target audience. Number four would be the niche that you are in the business. Can you explain how you stand out, how you are specialized in the business that you're in? So what is your niche? Now, number five would be the weapons. Now, some people take issue with the word weapon, given today's circumstances. But in guerrilla lingo, weapons would be your marketing tools. So a weapon might be a direct mail campaign, it might be a telephone campaign, it might be a newsletters, it might be putting a message on your website, it might be asking your Fusion marketing partners to tell their contacts about what you're doing and what you have to offer. These, or it could be posters on the bulletin board in the grocery store, for that matter. But what are the weapons? And then number six would be your identity. Now, I think that identity is important. Identity is in the mind of the audience that you're serving, but you have to put forth an appearance and show that you're knowledgeable and that you're capable in the way you project and the way you're presenting your company. So think about your identity. And the seventh step is the budget and the money. So rather than set out with a budget, I think you start out with what the plan is and what you want to accomplish. I think a budget could go up or down. It depends on, what you want to accomplish and what tools you're going to be using. From a guerrilla marketing standpoint, it's important not to money comes last. Spend money last. It's using your time, energy, and imagination before you spend money. So think about how you are going to get your, be able to leverage. And in fact, the word leverage is really important. How do you leverage your tools and your capabilities and your contacts where you're not spending a ton of money? If you spend money out of the gate, I guarantee you'll spend more money because people don't know who you are. But if you build an undercurrent of awareness and you look for low-cost, no-cost avenues for getting the word out about your business, and then you spend money, that money will really pay off much better in the long run. So think about that. That's called a seven-sentence guerrilla marketing plan. Now, here's another thing that's really important, and that is your marketing formula. Now, again, this comes from guerrilla marketing, and I do believe it's a good thing to do. Your guerrilla marketing plan should be broken into three categories. In guerrilla marketing, 60% of your marketing would be to the people you already serve. Now, that may sound odd to you, but think about it. Can you afford to lose the customers you have already? Now, if you're selling vacuum cleaners and people only buy one vacuum cleaner a year, you may think, well, I don't need to market to them because they bought a vacuum cleaner. But there's also the element of referral business. So don't take anybody off your radar that you have sold to. So 60% of your marketing should be to the people you've already served. 30% of your target audience would be the people that would be similar to the customers that you already have. In other words, you've identified a group of companies or individuals who possess the potential to be like that 60% of your customers that you 60% of your time going to the customers that are established already. So you figure, well, if you're marketing 30% of your marketing to people that you haven't sold yet, but they would be like the ones that you have sold, then you want to keep those messages going out. And then, I hope I'm making myself clear here. And then 10% of your marketing is the part you throw against the wall to see what sticks. So I'll allow you some of that, but it's amazing how many people throw too much money against the wall to see what sticks, and it ends up being a very expensive situation for them, and you want to avoid that. You want to go where you know you have the greatest potential. So think about that. Now, let's see how I'm doing on my time. I've got another couple minutes, and then we're going to break for some more of our messages. Let's see, what else do I want to share with you? Touch points. I had mentioned that a moment ago. You want to surround your target audience with an awareness of your business and the services that you offer. So if you were to send a message in the direction of your target audience and they're looking the other way, that message is lost. The cost of it is like history. But if you can surround them with an awareness so that the more times they're out and about and they see your company name pop up, they'll say, huh, I know who that is. So think about the touch points that you could develop. So a touch point might be that you're a speaker in an organization. If you do any networking, usually members of a networking groups have opportunities to be speakers. What about writing articles, either for your website, of course, but also leveraging those articles for publications that your target audience might be reading? Another exposure might be to sponsor a nonprofit organization's event, or at least put create a page on your website to say tell the world that you're supporting a nonprofit, because people like doing business with people that are benevolent. And it doesn't mean necessarily giving them money, but it certainly is creating exposure for a nonprofit organization. So I hope that you'll think about that. So those are some. It might be putting out, look at the people that do lawn care and other home services. They put out signs out on the people's front yards, or perhaps doorknob hangers in the neighborhoods where they're doing work. Those would be exposures. There's just being interviewed on my. Coming here and getting interviewed. We have a lot of people that come for interviews, and we have been filming those interviews. They can take that that video and they can leverage it. They can send it to people. They can put it on their websites or perhaps in a newsletter. And again, this is leveraging a tool, and it's just another exposure that people can utilize. And it's free. It's like free is good. So I really recommend that. Okay, we're going to break for some more messages, and I'll be back.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provide sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan. I have a cold. So I guess you can tell by now. Anyway, we've talked about target audiences. We've talked about messaging. And I'm looking through my presentation from this evening to see what else I can mention to you. One thing in terms of your marketing outreach, you have to have an integrated marketing mix. So we have traditional media, we have digital, and you have the real world outreach. I don't think you can rely totally on online marketing. You have to connect with people in the real world. That's why networking groups are helpful, belonging to trade associations and going to conferences, being a speaker at a conference. I've been a speaker in the pet industry, off and on for many years, actually. And I've also spoken at the American Small Business Development Center's annual conference, which migrates around the United States. And in fact, I have to plug in for the SBDC. Small Business Development Centers were developed but in the middle to late 70s, and I believe the first center was actually in New Jersey, but now they're nationwide. So the SBA, federal agency SBA, puts money into it along with monies that are put into it by the individual states. And then the host institutions also support SBDCs. They offer counseling and very inexpensive classes, and I really encourage you to take advantage of those programs. It's like the best deal in town, and the people that counsel you have been there and done it. They understand where you're coming from with the business, and I'd be shocked if they can't answer your questions, or they may refer you to another counselor on their team. I'm connected with the one at Raritan Valley Community College, which I believe in New Jersey is considered to be the best one in the state. Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit more about, we'll talk about the mistakes that, in selling. I teach sales classes, and unfortunately, people don't seem to be interested in learning how to sell, and yet we all live by selling something. Our classes at the college should be chock full of people, and sometimes that's not the case. But I can tell you that what I teach in selling is information that you're not going to hear other places. I've been in sales for over 45 years, I guess, at this point, well over. And we're all lifelong learners, and I really encourage you to read books on selling skills. There's always in many cases, it's a variation on a theme. Different techniques will be repeated by different authors in somewhat similar ways, but somewhat different also, but they're still the basic. So here come some of the mistakes that salespeople make, and then after that, I'm going to give you a list of what it takes to earn the sale. So as far as mistakes that people make, a lot of them do not pre-plan their sales calls. They just call people up or go visit them without any kind of pre-planning. So it's there's a lot that goes into pre-planning, but to study the customer, figure out ways that you can connect with them, and putting together proof portfolio and just your selling tools. Also, people are not good at setting the stage once they're in front of somebody, whether it's on the telephone or in person. And it's setting the stage helps to warm up the customer and get them into a positive frame of mind. Another mistake they make, and I mentioned it earlier, is that they're product-driven versus customer-driven. Another one that I think is a big mistake is that a lot of salespeople give a feature of what they do or what their products do, but they don't give the benefits. People do not buy the features. They buy the benefits. So I recommend that when you mention a feature, you connect it with a benefit by saying which means. So the which means is what I call this. It's the keep your fork statement. If you were having dinner with a family or friends and it was a great dinner and the table's being cleared and you're told, keep your fork, that leads you to think that there's going to be a really good dessert at the end of the meal. So which means is like your keep your fork. It gets you to stand up and take notice. So you hear a feature, which means, and then you hear the benefit. So that builds the grand finale is the benefit, and that's what people buy. Also, understanding what people's wants and needs are. I think there are some people that teach the fact that people have a painful situation and you're there as a salesperson to solve the pain. I believe that urgency is more important than pain. I think people live with pain. So you have to find the urgency in getting somebody to make a decision. Otherwise, the whole situation may drag on too long and nobody's making any decisions if they're living with pain. Also, people don't know how to ask the right kinds of questions. And I'm always amazed when I have a sales class where I go around the room and I ask people to ask an open-ended question, and quite often I get a closed-ended. People are not clear on what the difference is between open-ended and closed-ended questions. Read up on that. But if you don't ask open-ended questions, you're not going to hear what's on the mind of the person to whom you're speaking. Also, when somebody says, whatever somebody says, you need to empathize and acknowledge what they've said. And again, that's something, people don't listen. So when you do that, when you empathize and you acknowledge what you've heard, it creates a comfort level with the customer because they know that they've been heard and that you've heard what they said correctly. Another mistake that I think people make is that they're afraid that people are not going to buy, and it's like a big objection. And an objection, the word is, I minimize the word objection and bring up the fact that there people may be indifferent, or they may not, maybe there's a misunderstanding. maybe there's something they want and you just don't have it. You have to know how to treat when somebody doesn't say yes. Don't just think that it's an objection and there's no avenue for you to take. Another thing that salespeople do is that they assume that the customer knows how to make a decision, that they're going to be that they're being nice to you because they're going to do business with you, and they may not be. So don't make too many assumptions. Don't assume they trust you. So you have to build up that trust. Another very big thing is that a lot of salespeople neglect to ask for the order. It's amazing. They can walk through the presentation with a customer, but they don't ask for the order. So if you ever see somebody selling, or if you're the one who's selling, you know, pay attention to that. And then finally, a big mistake is that there's no follow-through. So in the beginning of a sales presentation, it's important to explain how you service a client once the order is written. You explain that you keep in touch with them periodically and get them to agree to that. How many times have you bought something from someone and you never heard from them again? It happens to us. We had our house painted. The guy that painted, we needed to have the house painted 7 years later. We never saw the guy again. Or I bought a copier, and eventually my copier was starting to get run down. I needed to replace it. Never heard from the guy that sold me the first copier. Isn't that dumb? So keep in touch with people because you want repeat and referral business. Now, I'm going to check my time. I still have another 2 minutes, and I'm going to go through this real quick. How to earn the sale. You hear the term closing the sale. I don't like that. The word close seems like you're closing in on somebody rather than opening up the relationship. So we're changing it, the term, to say that you have earned the sale. So you earn the sale because there's a mutual consent that there's a problem that you can solve together with the customer. The timing has to be right to get it to earn the sale. Some people are not ready to buy because of timing. The cost of doing business with you is an investment and not an expense. They have to trust you, and you also have to be a trusted advisor to your client. They have to believe you, and they have to like you and want to do business with you. And finally, the last one that I think is very big, and that is people have to be willing to change the way they do business in order to do business with you. If they're already buying a product or service that's similar, and they're stuck with that salesperson, they have a relationship with them, it's going to be tough to get them away from that. So that's something that you have to think about, how you're going to deal with that. And I think that's the biggest stumbling block sometimes in actually getting an order. So those are, we've talked, this is just touching the surface. I have, I don't know, there's 40-some slides that I'm going to be showing tonight from 5 to 8 o'clock at night. And this is a program that I can put on for people in any business, regardless of if they're, you know, doing direct sales or whatever. Keep me in mind for that. So right now it's about 3:58, and I have to end. I want to thank you for listening today. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, Teachable Moments in Business. Here on the 100 and Chamber radio station. And if you need some more information or you want to be interviewed, call me at 908-832-9544. And thank you and have a great afternoon.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You
USA Radio News.
President Donald Trump is hosting Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe today at Mar-a-Lago Resort. Let's take a listen to some comments made by President Trump.
We will probably be, depending on the various meetings and conversations, we'll be having meetings with Kim Jong-un very soon. It'll be that'll be taking place probably in early June. At our military strength now, which would not have happened had the opponent won.
President Donald Trump earlier today speaking at the White House here, talking about how tough he believes the administration has been on Russia. President Trump also held a press conference today where he was asked about how long troops will be in Syria and what his ultimate plan is regarding troops in Syria.
I want to get out. I want to bring our troops back home. I want to start rebuilding our nation. We will have, as of 3 months ago, $7 trillion in the Middle East over the last 17 years. We get nothing, nothing out of it, nothing.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, I'm Brant. Maybe you've heard me talking about MediShare, but now I give you my friend Sherry.
Yes, I have loved MediShare, loved it.
Is that all you have to say? Because this will be really short.
No, I really do love it. I've saved hundreds a month. And overall, I just think it's a better choice of a healthcare program for me. I'm really happy.